Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Today on the show, we have with us a very special guest, someone whose work I've personally been reading for quite some time. His name is Vincent Torley, and he received his PhD in philosophy from the University of Melbourne in Australia. He teaches in Japan, and he's also a writer for the popular blog Uncommon Ascent. Vincent, it's a pleasure to have you on ID the Future today with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Casey.
Well, the occasion for having Dr. Torley on the show today is an op-ed that Eric Metaxas wrote in the Wall Street Journal last Christmas Day, where he argued that modern science, especially modern science from physics and cosmology, points toward theism rather than against it. And in addition to the usual atheist critics that we're accustomed to seeing of intelligent design, there were some unexpected critics of Eric Metaxas' op-ed, namely some Roman Catholics, who accuse him of giving too much credence to modern science, claiming almost within making an argument for God from science that this detracts from the authority of philosophy and theology, essentially because these critics claim that if Eric Metaxas is saying that if you can make an argument for God from science, then you're saying that the only good arguments for God are scientific ones. So, Dr. Torley, I really wanted to bring you on the show today because you wrote a very keen response to some of these critics on Uncommon Ascent. And I'd like to ask you, is it a legitimate objection to Eric Metaxas' arguments that if you're making a scientific argument that God exists or that there's good evidence pointing to God, that therefore somehow you're elevating science above philosophy and theology? How do you respond to this objection?
Well, thanks for the question, Casey. And by the way, I'm happy to be called Vince. That's fine. In response to your question, I would say, first of all, that even if there were a good scientific argument for the existence of God, that would in no way undermine the metaphysical argument for God's existence. I mean, surely two arguments are better than one. On the issue of whether there can be a scientific argument for God's existence, I think it depends on what you mean by God. If you mean some being who created the cosmos, then I think there is a real possibility of building a scientific argument for God's existence. If you mean something more metaphysical, such as existence itself or being itself, then I don't think science will take you quite that far. But what I'd like to point out is that with ordinary people, the difficulty that they have with belief in God is not likely to be with the metaphysical definition, but getting them to believe in the first place in some intelligence that created the cosmos. And I think that's where science can help out. Putting it briefly, I think that science can supply evidence for the contingency of the cosmos by pointing to its having a beginning and by pointing to the fact that the various parameters that characterize the universe and the laws that hold throughout our cosmos are also contingent laws that need not hold, and that there are other possible worlds that could have existed, but in fact we find ourselves in a universe that's fine-tuned for life. And that fine-tuning itself points very strongly to there having been an intelligent creator who set the universe up for the sake of creating living things and, according to recent evidence, for the sake of creating beings that could discover their creator. That's what I would say.
Now, Dr. Torley or Vince, I really appreciate that clarification here. And I think that some people might be surprised to hear that there are some religious critics of intelligent design who would say that if you are making a scientific argument that God exists, that somehow you're saying that philosophy and theology are no longer important. And I certainly don't think that that is what Eric Metaxas was trying to say. Would you agree with that?
Oh, most certainly. I think looking through Eric Metaxas's article, he had no intention of undercutting the metaphysical arguments for God's existence. I don't think he was concerned to address those arguments because he wasn't writing about that. He was writing about arguments that could be readily understood by the average person. And I think it's pretty easy to make people see that if the universe as a whole had a beginning, then it's reasonable to ask why it exists, and it's reasonable to suppose that it had a creator. Also, too, if we find that its parameters are balanced like a knife's edge, then we might also ask, why do they have the values that they have? And if we find that they're fine-tuned for life, then once again, the inference to an intelligent being is a rational one. That in no way undercuts metaphysical arguments that you might also make for a creator. And I don't think Eric Metaxas had any intention of undercutting those metaphysical arguments.
Now, Vince, if you also don't mind me saying, you had a great point in your article on Uncommon Descent where you titled this subsection, Nervous Nellies, What If the Fine-Tuning Argument is Wrong? And this sort of responded to another common objection that we see from even some religious critics of intelligent design, that basically if you are making a scientific argument for God, that therefore somehow if the science changes, because science, of course, is tentative, no scientific theory is guaranteed to be true, if the science changes, then now you have undercut faith in God, or you've undercut belief in God. Do you agree that this is a good objection to intelligent design? And is this a good reason to refrain from making an argument for God based upon science when we're using science that is readily accepted?
Well, I think you can be a little bit too nervous about problems like that. I would answer that objection by saying either there are good, independent, metaphysical arguments for God's existence or there aren't. And if there are, then any discrediting of the scientific arguments for God's existence in no way undermines the metaphysical arguments, which are independent of science. But if there were no such arguments, then surely it would be rational to revise your opinion of the probability of God's existence depending on the scientific evidence. So if the critics of scientific arguments for God's existence really are sure that there are good metaphysical arguments, then they shouldn't really be worried. I should also say, too, that the evidence for fine-tuning is very, very strong. I'll just give one example here. The example that I'm giving comes from biology, and it dates back to an article in 2007, which was published by Dr. Eugene Koonin, who's senior investigator at the National Center for Biotechnology Information, which is part of the National Library of Medicine, the branch of the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. Now, Dr. Koonin wrote a book called The Logic of Chance, which was published in 2011, and he gave an article in that book, which was also based on a 2007 paper in Biology Direct 2 called The Cosmological Model of Eternal Inflation and the Transition from Chance to Biological Evolution in the History of Life. And what he argued in that article was that the probability of life originating in an observable universe, the size of our observable universe, even making very optimistic assumptions, basically like a primordial ocean with chock-a-block full of RNA, that kind of thing, the probability of getting a simple coupled translation replication system going was something like 1 in 10 to the power of 1,018. That's 1 with 1,018 zeros after it. Now, this guy's an atheist, as far as I'm aware, and he got around that problem by basically supposing that, well, we live in a multiverse, and it could be infinite, and there could be just a vast number of universes, so we just happen to be living in one of the lucky ones. As I pointed out, however, in my article for Uncommon Descent, there is a real problem with the multiverse hypothesis. In fact, there are about three problems with the hypothesis. Okay, well, what's wrong with that? First of all, even if you suppose that there is a multiverse, then you've just kicked the problem upstairs because, as fine-tuning expert Dr. Robin Collins has argued in his essay, The Teleological Argument, An Exploration of the Fine-Tuning of the Universe, which is available online, a multiverse capable of generating any life-supporting universes at all would still need to be fine-tuned. So you'd need to ask, what fine-tuned multiverse? The second problem with the multiverse is that, as physicist Dr. Paul Davies pointed out in a 2003 article in the New York Times, the multiverse hypothesis itself would seem to imply that quite a large proportion of universes, including perhaps our own, were intelligently designed, perhaps by aliens or something like that. But the point is, even if there is a multiverse, it's quite likely that ours was intelligently designed by some intelligence. And the third thing that was pointed out long ago by Dr. Robin Collins, I think in a 2000 article, was that even if we assume that chance was responsible for the fact that our universe just happened to be able to support life. It's very strange that the physics underlying our universe also happens to be not only life-friendly, but mathematically very elegant, which suggests the picture of a master mathematician that designed the cosmos that we live in. Dr. Robin Collins argued, the fact that a universe is life-supporting doesn't mean that it has to have physics look mathematically elegant. There's no reason to suppose that being able to support life would go hand in hand with being mathematically elegant. So for those reasons, I don't think the multiverse hypothesis holds up.
So essentially, Vince, what you are saying is that there are some pretty strong arguments for modern science to believe in God. And this is not fringe science. I mean, the idea that, you know, there's this fine-tuning in the universe is very well accepted. You're citing leading scientists like Eugene Koonin talking about the vast improbability that we should have a universe where life can exist or where life does exist. And this is real science. So we shouldn't be so nervous that we're afraid to look at science and ask, is this pointing in the direction of a intelligent designing transcendent God, essentially? And I really like the way you put it, that two arguments are better than one. If for some reason this fine-tuning argument turned out not to work, okay, fine. This is not saying that the existence of God or our belief in God absolutely depends on this. Hardly at all. I mean, there's other very good arguments for God, as you said, from philosophy, from theology, and so forth. But none of that prevents us from looking at science and saying, does that also make an argument for God's existence? And if it does, that might actually increase the likelihood of faith in God being correct. So I really like the way you framed this argument. Well, Dr. Torley, I think we're running out of time for the first podcast here. Will you stay with us for a second podcast on these topics of science and philosophy and the existence of God?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, great. Well, again, we've had on the show with us here Dr. Vincent Torley, who has a PhD in philosophy from the University of Melbourne in Australia, who is a writer for the popular blog Uncommon Descent. I would encourage our listeners to go check out that blog. The website is uncommondescent.com, and we'll come back for more with Dr. Vincent Torley on science and philosophy and whether we can make an argument for God from science. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.